The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Weekend Podcast, ladies and gentlemen of the podcast audience. I'm joined by Peter and Steve. You're all right, lads.
Hello.
Hello.
And it's a different kind of podcast. You listen weekdays and I chat to sensible people, people with half a brain, the weekends there, and talk to people who are brainless. Absolutely no brain whatsoever. It's a marvel of modern technology. Do you know what? I just saw on CNBC, Becky Quick. Hey, I'm Becky Quick. Hey, how you doing? On Monday, right, she's doing a three-hour question and answer, people send in the questions with Warren Buffett. 3 hours, mustn't be missed. And I thought, it's an idea. We should get Steve doing that.
Oh, 3 hours.
A 3 hour, yeah, exclusive question and answer for, you know, investors with Steve Martin.
Wow. I bet people would be queuing up for that.
I know.
Yeah.
Steve, they say, what are you buying? Because I'll avoid it. First question, tell us your portfolio. That's it. But, 3 hours of Warren Buffett. They do that once a week pretty much now with Warren Buffett. It's gone. It used to be quite exclusive, but they do it all the time. I think actually Becky is probably his missus. And that's why she's still employed at CNBC. So the week, guys, anything happening? Oh, by the way, can I say, I think England are going to win on the weekend, rugby. Pete, fair play.
Yeah. Really?
Oh. Yeah. I hate to say it, but... looked like they've really got the bit between their teeth and they've come out 100 miles an hour in every game they've had, you know?
Yeah.
You should hammer us. Are you going to watch it with me? I'm going up the road there in the train, catch a train.
Yeah.
Are you coming out?
Yeah, I'm up for that. Yeah, definitely.
Where are you watching it then?
Is Peter coming out to play? Can Peter come out to play today, please?
Yes, he can.
Is it bad?
Yeah. Yes, he can. Yeah. Especially if England have a good chance of beating Wales.
Steve, we're going to the wonderful world of Bracknell. No, Wokingham. Hey, we're going to Wokingham. So we're going up there and watch the game because that's where I think. And you can't come there, Steve, can you? You don't believe in watching games, do you?
I don't believe in it, no. So, no, I'm working in Cardiff for the game.
Wow, yeah, right. Steve.
Yeah. I'm on the Welsh side.
He's a mascot, a little boy, like we said before, goes out. Holding Alan Wynne Jones's hand. Yeah, oh, Steve. Oh, it's Alan. Oh, lovely. Oh, are you going to win? Yes. Oh, it's going to be good. Those English boys might be very good.
Is he the goat?
Yeah. Steve is, well, the greatest of all time. The goat. Yeah.
Do they still have that goat that they walk out with?
I think someone ate it. One of the boys, drunken evening. That's one of the Welsh boys. That was drunken evening. Celebrating. The guy, one of the guys, you know, put it in his little golf buggy. Drove the M4, then set fire to it and ate it.
That's it.
they tend to over celebrate the Welsh boys.
What was his name? Andy Powell.
Came out of the I don't know if you can Google that. He was in the Vale of Glamorgan, and he nicked the golf buggy and drove down the M4 in the middle of the night drunk. Yeah. And so, you don't care how drunk you are. If you are sober enough to drive a golf cart, pretty much on the M4, you must be released. You must have some kind of, you know, little thing nagging element in the back of your head saying, "This is not going to end well." Something. I'm going to be held up. This is going to attract a lot of attention if I get caught. And let's be honest, if you're on the M4 and driving, it doesn't matter how quiet it is. Someone's going to see you, isn't they? You know, and say, "Is a guy in a golf cart?" Anyway, do you know what?
Rugby international in a golf cart.
Yeah, I'm quite looking. I'm quite excited about it though, because they're doing the big build up on the telly. On Friday morning, even on ITV they did it, and on BBC they're really making a big thing of it, saying the winner of this game is basically the winner, you know, and of the entire competition. And so it's a pressure point. It's in Cardiff, of course, the Dragon's Den, as someone said, is quite clever. I'm out. But there we are. Looking forward to that. Anyway, so do you know what I also saw in the news this week? See, these old people stockpiling for Brexit. They're stockpiling food for breakfast.
Old people?
Yeah, just in case you run out of old people. They won't be important anymore, those old people. They'd be stuck at the border. The board would be jam-packed with old people, just blocking it up. No, but,
warehouse is full of old people. That's what we need, yeah.
And just one guy, right? This guy said, you know, he's a big fat guy, so he was sort of protecting his missus. He said, oh, I'm not, like, the missus is, you know, she's stockpiling. It wasn't from Wales, but, you know, it was an accident I can do. And he said, to be fair, she's, you know, she's a bit, you know, cautious, more cautious than me, you know. She's stockpiling stuff. One was more like, well, fruit. Can you stockpile fruit?
Perishable goods. Yeah. I've seen a flaw in your plan.
People doing this are absolutely mental. There's something wrong with these people. And you realise the majority of the public are morons. Absolute morons, you know. It's pot noodles. Are they made in this country? Are they? Well, we got plenty of them anyway. It's like, don't be so stupid. Yeah. The government has said they will. We're allowed to let in what we want, you know. And there's a report from Dover this week saying the government have been quite helpful. And they said if it starts to back up, they'll just let things through. If there's regular sort of importers anyway, just let them through. We're allowed to let in what we want, you know.
Yeah. I'm going to start stockpiling air.
It's ridiculous.
I'm going to start water.
I just fill up empty bottles of water. And just empty. I'm going to empty all my food out to all my cans and tins and thing and just fill up with water. Just in case there's a blockage somewhere in the Brexit pipe. I don't know, where the water we get from Europe. It's the nicest water in the world, that is. But it's like, it is insane, isn't it? Absolutely insane.
Yep.
Anyway. Ooh. Oh, did you see Dirty Dame and Glug? Oh, and Glug, give me the bit stuck. Oh, I'm out the bit stuck. Did you see that? TR1, Steve, did you see that?
No, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, please, Stephen.
Explain.
Stephen, yes.
Is she German?
Dirty and Glug. Hello, I'm and Glug.
She's not German.
I got to say, I struggle with Scottish. She's
one of the Scottish.
That's right. I'm out now. That's me out. She was the co-founder of Stagecoach. She's a billionaire. I think she's worth 1.04 billion. But I don't know. She's got a connection to Optiva Securities. She's also in like Ark Minerals and Emerson. You know, really odd exploration companies. For someone that kind of money, it's odd. She's really playing. She's like about 70 odd, and she's playing at the risky end of the AIM market. I don't know who's advising her, but it's like I tweeted a picture of her on Friday of her, and she's you know getting on, and she looks a bit mad in the eye, and it's not the best picture. I got to laugh. I tweeted it out, and someone said something. A little, you know, said, nice picture, someone said, right? And then someone in reply to that said, troll. And I said, you know, to someone say, nice picture. And I said, oh, come on, it's not her best picture. That's a bit harsh, though. I wouldn't go that far. She does look a bit odd, though. But literally, she's a billionaire. She's in, like, Bidstack, a gaming advertising company. And so we had a TR1 coming out saying she'd gone below 3%. So Anne, dirty trader Anne, has been selling out of Bidstack. You dirty thread and glug. Dirty.
Do you think she knows something?
Oh, I don't know what she knows. I don't know if she knows who's actually buying and selling for her. Let's be honest, she would not be involved in risky exploration companies and internet advertiser platform.
Maybe she had to cash in for the weekend, so she had some money for a weekly shop or something.
Yeah. Maybe she's stockpiling. Oh, you got a stockpile for Brexit.
Maybe it is, yeah.
Sell all my shares. Can you do Scottish? Sell all my shares, I've got a stockpile.
I can do Scottish better than you, yes.
Go on then, go and say, sell all my shares, I've got a stockpile for Brexit.
Hey, I tell you what, I got a stall of my shares.
Yeah. Both bad, but much better than Justin's, huh?
No! Oh, no! No, sell!
We love you.
I bet Anne.
I got sold my bit stuck.
It's Dame Anne Glug. I think she is stockpiling. I think that's what she's doing. I think most elderly people are doing that. They're panicking about nothing. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Was there any news this week? Any news at all?
Lloyd Taylor, good RNS.
They did, didn't they? What happened there? What do they say?
End of the year cats, you know. I should have prepared this, shouldn't I? But yeah. Their profits are actually slightly off target, but they raised the dividend and they said that it's all great and forget Brexit, it's all going to be fine. So their share price rose by 4 or 5% on the day. It's quite nice. And the dividend's up, so that's nice as well. There we are, kids.
I like a bit of divvy. Do you like the divvies? Yeah. I hate people call dividends divvies. Oh, and you've got a bit of divvy as well in there as well. You know, can put that in a divvy. Lovely. That's what I was thinking of, actually. So what I've done to my father this week, right, is he called up now and again saying, just stocks. And I said, Dad, trouble is, I can't buy and sell for you because he has to log in. Barclays is so secure. You know, he won't even let his son log in for him. So he has to do it. But trouble is, you know, it's like you guys as well, Steve, you know, by the time I tell him, the market's moved against him in small stocks or something. So I said, listen, Dad, you know, what you need to be investing in is some sensible long-term, I said long-term, he's 74. Obviously, it'll come to me. Anyway, Dad, really long-term now. You're thinking like 20 years on the line. When I get about 65, that's the kind of term you're looking at, yeah? Long term. So I looked at some funds for him. Right. And in fact, I copied and pasted it and put it in our WhatsApp group. But there's a couple here. Vanguard, very good. Vanguard have a sort of life strategy funds. And these are, if you know what funds are, basically your money goes into a pot, obviously, and everyone mixes it up. And they say afterwards, when you want to sell, how much did you put in the pot? We can't remember now, but they put it in the pot there. They buy a basket of stocks. Now, if you were to buy those basket of stocks, it would cost you lots of money because each individual trade would cost you money, of course, to deal. But they do that, and they charge very little. And in fact, Jack Bogle just died a few weeks back, and he was hated by Wall Street and fund managers because fund managers, you know, they used to be living the high life and the gravy train, charging their clients loads of money, you know. And he came up with a very low-cost passive investment of strategies. And now he's got different funds there. So if you go to vanguard.co.uk, you can see all their products there. And they have, like, retirement target dates. So they'll have, like, retirement target date, you know, 2050 or 2035, 2040. And you pick that, and it sort of weighs your equity depending on how much risk. So basically, if you have a long time to retirement, it'll be a bit more risky for you, get a bit more return. It'll be, like, sort of, you know, almost 100% equities if you have like 40 years. And then it comes out, if you have 20 years left of retirement, maybe it'll go to like 80% equities, 20% fixed interest rates, like bonds and all that stuff, and so forth. So that's very good. It's also iShares, which is owned by BlackRock. BlackRock is the biggest investment bank in the world kind of thing, or investment house in the world. There's a good one there called UK Dividends. That's what my father's into. I said, Dad, just get into that. And in fact, if I look at it now, I type it in here, iShares, yeah. So, and what they do, they just invest in the top 50 biggest paying dividend payers in the UK. So you've got, let's look at this. So there's loads of them there. I don't know why they just make them small. Equity income, yes. Fixed income, yes. Yes, right. Oh, here we are. So with iShares UK Dividends, it's IUKD, that's the ticker. So if anyone wants to go there, IUKD is the ticker. It returns about 6.39%. But so the top is a top 10. So they've got top 10 Evraz, which is like ridiculous. Evraz, right? Ticker EVR. Their dividend at the moment is about 10%.
What?
So, yeah. What? What?
That's right. Isn't it?
Yeah. So Persimmon is around about 8%, man. So anyway, so these are top 10. Evraz, Persimmon, Green King, Crest Nicholson, Polymetal, International Real Tinted, BT is in there, Vodafone, SSE, Saga. So that was one of 10. But there's 50 holdings there. And so, Steve, what you need to do, I reckon, is put 60% of your portfolio in that. And we can have a dabble around with the others then on high quality small cap, you know, potential, you know, high risk, but potential high reward. Because then, you know, the core, in fact, the majority of your portfolio is always going to be earning. But I think when you buy this, it's down at the moment, we've had a massive rebound. But I think whenever, like I said before, whenever you see on the news, I'm saying, oh, the stock markets have taken $1 billion off their value. Whenever you see that big sale like that, you know, maybe give it a couple of days, but buy in. And that's a good thing. Every time that happens, because it happens once a year, pretty much. That's the time to buy in.
But I have a question.
Yes, man at the back with the big ears.
Yep. Oh, me, sorry.
Yes, that one, so, yes.
Right.
In the dress. Wearing lipstick. You go on. With smelly armpits. Come on.
Right.
Okay. Funny hair. Look at his hair. Go on.
Right. Hi.
Hello.
I've got a question.
Well, come on then. Everyone else has as well. They're waiting for you. Come on. There's a guy next to you with a thick lip as well. Come on.
Okay. I don't know what Steve's perfilia looks like, but are you saying, is this a kind of strategy to kind of get him out of where he is at the moment? Or are you just...
This is long term. This is what he should be holding now till retirement. He should be compounding, right. You know, 5, 6, 7%, 8% a year on the majority of his portfolio. Then he can have blue sky stocks then as well, you know? At the moment, he's all blue sky and they're too active. And most of them are pre-revenue. Most of them, are, you know, need the funds to raise money. And I think he needs a core of sensible... You know, investments that'll just sit there. Chuck them in your ISA account there. Forget all about them. Forget about them. Yeah, forget about them, Steve. Just forget about them.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I need.
And even when I asked you, do you remember Steve, how's your fund going? He said, what fund? Just forget about him, yeah?
Right, okay. Right, good. No, so where Steve might have a number of small cap stocks that he's under in at the moment.
Just a few.
Yeah. To kind of try and recover that money, long term, I suppose, you could recover it by putting it all into one of these sort of trackers, but... Is that the best strategy?
This is what I'm suggesting. Listen, I'm only saying 60%. All of it. This is what I'm suggesting. I think now we won't have a no deal. Everyone's worried about a no deal. Oh, no deal, your head fall off. Oh, no deal will explode. Oh, no deal, we'll have no air. No deal. We've got to avoid a no deal situation. Just take no deal off the table. There's a no deal, it's not there, it's gone. It's off till. How can you do that? How can you take a no deal off the table? There's no deal there. How can you take it off the table? That's what Jeremy Corbyn's saying. Take the no deal. Where is it? Well, it's on the table there. There's nothing there. We'll take it off the table. That is insane. You can't take no deal off the table if you don't have a deal. That's the whole point. Is deal or no deal? Ask Noel. Anyway, so what I'm saying is, I think we'll get the deal. It'll be fudge. Something will happen, right? Trump and Xi there will sort out the trade tariff thing.
When is that happening? We're having a meeting soon.
What they've started with, they're low level meetings, two low level guys. You know, just go to the...
In China,
that happened in low level. Yeah, but so went over there, low level. American guy went up with the Chinese guy to a Chinese restaurant, not an Indian restaurant, that'd be odd. They had a good time, good evening. They sent the guys just a little, you know, rung up the ladder. They sent the next guys, we've gone quite well. Yeah, let's move this up a level. Yeah. So now we're about seven layers down below Trump here, all right? So the next layer guys go out, you know, they enjoy themselves. Say, yes, fine, we've been out to a karaoke bar. We've got on with each other. And they tell the next guys, now it's got to the stage now, they come over to America now, they are. So there's two guys just below Trump and Xi Jinping. And there's a little bit of a wrangling there, but they say progress is being made. So now it's moved right up to the point where it's ready to sign. They're just, the guys just below him, they've gone beyond dating, they've gone beyond chatting about, talking about policy, trade policy now. You know, it's beyond dating. They're talking about trade policies, and they're actually nailing down some things. So it'll get to the stage where all those things are nailed down. All Trump and Xi has to do is go out, pretend it's doing stuff, and then sign. And that's all they'll do. I'll look over it, and Trump will do his ridiculously mental signature. Have you seen that signature he's got? That alone, that in his hair, that signature in his hair just shows how mad he is. But he does a big sign. Markets, at the moment, there's been good sounds coming from this deal thing for a long time. So the markets are sort of pricing it in. But I think now, as always, I think we'll go there to seasonality, but the market will rally towards April. Then, Steve, that's when you start putting a bit of cash in, yeah? And you go, whoa, boy. And so, you imagine riding the horse towards the edge of the cliff there. Whoa, boy! And then you just get off your horse, kick him over the edge.
Steve, are you writing this down?
It's all going right in, yeah.
It's all.
Which sit down.
Where's it going in, Steve? That's what I'm worried about. Which hole?
Well, the same one is coming out of you.
Yeah, exactly. It's out of my hole into your hole. So anyway, what I'm saying is, listen, we've been lulled. Now, people hate this, right? People are getting really bullish and cocky on the resource stocks run. I see a lot of people having a few digs at me on Twitter about resource stocks. Well done, guys. You bounced very well. It's going very well for the resource stocks. It'll continue to go very well. Guarantee it. But you know what? Our economy and the global economy is going to crash and burn this year. I'm telling you that now. We're being lulled into the biggest false sense of... We're all there buying up stocks. Oh, look, we're rallying. And you wait. You wait until the end of this year. What's going to happen? We're going to crash and burn the entire global economy. And I'm not one of these people who say I told you so, but I'll be saying this as loud as I can. I'll be having I told you so tattooed on my forehead.
And you won't gloat at all, will you?
No. That's going to happen. You watch it. It's going to happen.
Right. Okay. Can I get a word in edgeways?
Go on. Squeeze it in.
Edgeways. Well, I was going to say that I've had quite a good week this week. My portfolio has somewhat recovered.
It will. And isn't it amazing? I'm just saying, isn't it amazing how sentiment can change so quickly? And all of a sudden...
I haven't finished. Hold on.
Go on.
So, it's very good. And I'm actually on the verge of breaking even for the financial year, which, you know, is exciting. Break even is the new profit, I've decided. But look, I know what you're saying. I agree. But I'm going to continue... hoping that we see more of a rally, but I'm well aware that there could be some impending, you know, downturn at some point. So I am going to start skimming off some profit in due course and batten down my hatches a bit by the middle of the year, I think.
I did something this week, which I'm not sure if you...
Is it legal? You know, or is it to do with stocks and shares?
Stocks and shares.
Oh, okay, good.
So and I've sold all my PRD this week only because I've got so much profit on it, I'm not going to risk. And I know it could go up much more, but I was something like 230% up in it. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to take that. Because the amount of losses I've had recently, I thought that'd be quite nice to just cash in. And so I've now just got that in cash.
Awesome. That'll fly now.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, there we are. Back to Warren Buffett question and answer. Steve, what are you got out of? Yeah, he's out of PRD. Bye. No, but... Steve, listen, that's good.
Conviction, well done.
Sit on cash. Steve, if I were you, honestly, I'd put a little bit of that into that fund, honestly, because, and just wait for the crashes and top up the fund. Honestly, no one could call a recession, very, very few people, of course. I'm the only one. I think the markets are such that, you know, we are easily swayed. A rally off an oversold position doesn't a global, you know, healthy economy make, you know? We just get lulled in this false sense of security. Oh, it's rallying now. See, finally, everything's back on track. It's not. The levels of growth are going down around all countries. Okay, a lot of this is down to uncertainty. And once a market sell-off happens, people start pulling their investments. So it's self-fueling. You may see now people start to reinvest again on different levels. But I think systemically, we are slowing down. And so I don't know if it's going towards a recession, but I expect... And listen, the last year, we've, you know, the stock market's done well. Maybe it's correcting. Maybe that's all it was. It needed correction, you know? And maybe now it'll glide up nicely or stay flat. But I'm just saying, we're at the end... You know, if you look at any cycle, any business cycle, it happens. The market has cycles, you know? And this cycle has been a very long one. It's been like a 10-man tandem, you know? One man each year. It doesn't get that long, mostly. It's 5 years, 6 years, and then a big correction. And so we are due one sooner or later. It may be a year out or something. But if you're doing very well, like you are, Stephen, like PRD, there's no harm in taking a bit of cash, you know, taking a bit of put on the side. Because PRD, even though it has massive potential, there's still a lot of risk there. You know, they've got to get the Trinidad thing working. If they do their cash flow, that's good. But, you know, their high impact assets in Morocco and Ireland are still, you know, odds against. You know, they have a high impact. There's massive. If they strike success there, it's a 100-bagger, 200-bagger, you know, pretty much. If they've got a farm in, there's good news. But there's still odds against these high-impact things. So that's why, you know, I think if anything, if you are going to, you know, put some more money in, either put in a fund like that or go for cash-generative businesses that you have confidence in long-term. You know, they can survive, they'll be fine with the downturn, doesn't matter. They'll plough along. Mm. But again... don't put too much money in at the start. You know, prepared to have dips in all these stocks, you know, because I'm still on 44% cash and I'm not fully invested, really crazy invested in any stock, really. You know, not overexposing any stocks. I'm trying my best to be very cautious now. And I've got the stage where it's the norm now for me to have 40% cash. So I'm, you know, sitting there. And I may put it in a fund now again for a little bit and see what happens. I just think, you know what? I'm maybe being overly bearish, but sometimes when you're not sure, you know, if in doubt, get out. That's what I think. You can always go back in, you know, if in doubt, get out. Like, you know, you can always go in the water. If Jaws is not in the water, you can go back in. You know, if you hear that, if you go going, oh, hang on, I'm out of the water. There's someone right in there playing that music under the water. Jaws has an accompanying Disney orchestra with him everywhere he goes. And Jaws turns around. Do you mind, guys, keeping that down? Every time I try and attack someone, you're playing that music, okay? And they can hear me coming miles off. That's right. I'm out. I think Anne Gluegg's stockpiling. Follow Anne. But I think, you know, things like, that's why I'm being resource stocks, but that's why I've been saying it for a while. I'm looking for companies that won't be hit by recession, you know, or in fact, almost like will do well in the recession. That's what I'm looking for. I think comes to gaming companies like Bidstack and, you know, I think the health sector, like Totally, C4XD, that's pre-revenue, is my own, Tuple in telecoms, cheap telecoms, you know, there's guaranteed prices over lifetime, Brave Bison, social media videos, and all that stuff. I think it won't be affected by, you know, recession too much. Of course, it'll take a little bit of a knock. All share prices will, you know. It's a rising tide, lowering tide. All boats rise, all boats sink on the tide. But
that's it.
But the ones that have holes in them, because they have no revenue, their owner has no revenue to fix them.
Yeah.
And has to borrow revenue. There goes on. Anyway, so by the way, you said something about an investment? What was it, investment company? Didn't you a while back? I don't know what it was. Which one was it?
Who are you talking to?
Oh, breaking news! Breaking news! R. Kelly is charged with sexual offences.
I thought he was.
No, I saw a documentary on him, and that was dreadful. He's literally, I can't.
Is that your sister? Is that your sister or something? You're saying R. Kelly. R. Kelly's been.
He's from Manchester. R. Kelly. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Anyway, investment companies. So I'm not a big fan of investment companies. People have mentioned investment companies a lot of times. Why? Because essentially we are investment companies, you know? Our portfolio is an investment company. That's what we do. Now, so when you invest in an investment company, you are diluting that leverage. You can't get the leverage. Let's say an investment company has 10 stocks, you know, and they put like the entire portfolio into 10 stocks, right? And they have 10% of their money in each of them. And they're not going to get it right on all these investment companies. No one ever does, you know. So one or two of them will be quite good and do very well. A few of them will, you know, just be average, and several will underperform. So essentially, that one or two stocks, let's say one does really well, and they've got 10% in there, and you buy 10% of this investment company, you know, you are getting 10% of 10%, which is 1%. That's rubbish. You can't get the leverage. That's why, you know, you're better off investing in individual stocks. You're so diluted, there's no leverage there. So generally, investment companies do not perform very well, you know, unless they're very concentrated on one or two stocks, and you get a big winner. But generally, investment companies, to me, are a waste of time, and I've tried a few of them, and I realise, hang on, there's no leverage there, you know? It's just, it's a leverage on leverage. So you're diluted on dilution. Do you understand what I mean by that, guys?
Yeah.
So
what do you mean by an investment company?
That's good.
Let's go back to start.
So is that kind of like what I used to, like how I used to invest before I started this?
No. Well, I don't know, was it?
Well, no.
I'm not going to obviously mention the company, but
there's someone's shares. No. If you're investing in funds are investment companies. But when you have, I'm talking about high risk investment companies on AIM. Yeah. You know, there's quite a few of them on AIM, and they're invested in several oil and gas stocks. And I'm thinking, or several tech companies. And I think what you should be doing is trying to get exposure to those tech companies you like. If you like it, try and get direct exposure rather than go through investment company. But so basically, they invest in shares there's sometimes investment companies will invest in private companies you can't get shares of. But
the principle is the same as what you're talking about, Steve. But you're talking about a big investment company who, you know, the likes of, I don't know, Jupiter and whatever, that invest in big, pretty much, FTSE 100 stocks or that kind of side. It's the same principle, but
it is really, and it depends on what they charge it.
But much more risky because they're going into lots of small cap stocks.
Yeah. And also
it's,
with those,
it's like paying Justin to manage your portfolio.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yeah. You wouldn't do that, would you?
But
you
know, but me say I'm going to return you and I beat the market. What they're trying to do is beat the market. You see, right? And the bigger ones, the market's returns about 7%. They'll try and beat that, right? So they'll take it to 10. They'll charge. They'll get 8-9%, and they'll charge you like 1-2% of fees. So it's no point. You're better off just getting a passive tracker. That's what that's what Jack Bogle did with the Vanguard. He said, no, all these fund managers, you know, they charge you so much that they're taking any benefit you would have got anyway from beating the market. So he set up these passive trackers. So before, you're a fund manager, you know, individually selecting stocks. He then did a passive tracker, and in fact, he did the S&P. And basically, it held a basket, it held every stock in the S&P, everyone. And because the charge was so low, his passive trackers beat the majority of fund managers, and they were so annoyed at that because they said, "Hang on, you're doing yourself a job here, you know."
Yeah. So, hang on, to that Vanguard one that you suggested, then could you still invest in, or could I still invest in the same account I got with my ISA at the moment? I know you're talking about it earlier.
Yeah. They're all ISA. So
I used to have a Vanguard passive tracker in my ISA, but I sold
so
it.
So can I do that in Harry Larry then?
Yeah. So Vanguard and ISA.
Oh, yeah, Vanguard. Yeah, Vanguard, no problem at all. Yeah, we like Vanguard. Yeah, bring it right in there.
You have Oyster shares as well, because they're massive. BlackRock. BlackRock, oh, massive. Yeah. Oyster shares.
Any rock. Yeah,
I like the Oyster shares. My shares, Oyster shares. What's my shares? Oyster shares. We all share the share. Oyster shares.
Yeah, no problem.
But yeah, iShares is iShares UK Dividend, for example. Yes, and or Vanguard. Yes, you can put that on your thing, Steve. So, any sell off the markets. When you've got like a couple cent sell off, I think just jump in there and.
I think I'll wait till breakfast happens first. Breakfast? I think that'll probably. Yeah, full breakfast. Right,
tomorrow morning. They're shut. Steve, we're shutting the weekend, fella. Sorry about that. We're fishing.
Yeah, we're gone. I think it's very sage advice. It's very good. And it's good to have a backbone that's in a sensible kind of passive tracker or something like that. But you still got to have some fun, I think. Which
absolutely.
Still got to have exposure to these little silly companies on AIM and stuff. That
Hang on. They're not silly. Some of these will go. I'm open for 100 bagger in a couple of these, you know.
Some of them have been great punts, haven't they? And they've come off well. Some haven't
been good punts, but you know what? Yeah. Though, I mean, after all this time, I still feel I'm refining my strategy, even now. You know, I still think you're still learning. I'm still learning now. I still look at things. Okay, even down to things like, I'm adjusting to cash generative stocks, hopefully, you know. And even now looking at balance sheets and understanding lots of different things about, okay, when it comes down to it, all you need to look at sometimes, right, is a cash flow statement and see how much cash you're taking on. And is their cash position increasing? Obviously, in the cash flow statement, you will see if they've done a placing there, because that will boost the cash on hand, of course. So you discount that. But they wouldn't raise if they were cash generative. But, you know, have they been generating cash? And to me, if they are, they're a self-sustainable business and their growth is good. So you're looking at double-digit percentage growth, you know, organic growth. If they're growing fast, they're generating cash, that's a good deal. Full stop, I think, and obviously you have to value it. But that's why. And do you know what I'm looking at? I'm going to do a video on this weekend, actually, and it takes the emotion out of buying. You know, a couple of times we said before, scale into stocks, you know, and a couple of times you put your first tranche. Let's say you've got 100 grand because it makes it easier for percentages. Let's say you've got 100 grand portfolio. I say never put more than 10% in one stock. And so that's 10 grand, right? But normally I will take 10% off the 100 grand you got just because a fluctuation. So you got 100 grand there, just take 10 grand off the entire portfolio because fluctuations of the market is up and down. Because one week can be 100 grand, 110 grand, 1 week can be 90 grand. So say go for 90 grand. So then you get 9 grand is 10%. Don't put more than 9 grand in one stock, but don't put that in one go. You know, break it down into three chunks so you scale in. So if you put the initial tranche in and it just takes off, you think, oh, I didn't really have enough of that. A good way of scaling in, I've looked at several times. If you're convinced the growth is still there, then a stock will rise, of course, it'll get go crazy, it'll go overbought. Now, this is what, when I say overbought, on the relative strength index on a chart, RSI is called, and that is above an, it's above a level of 70, basically, because overbought. Never buy it there. Never, ever buy it. It will have a pullback sooner or later. It's not, you know, a foregone conclusion that it will pull back within a day or a week. It can be overbought for a longer time than you think. But when it starts to come back down and cool down, look at the RSI. Let it come back down below 50. Let it flatten out. And then you only start to top up. If you're convinced the growth is still there, the story hasn't changed, then you start buying as the RSI flattens out, it goes back towards 50 and back up. And that then, the momentum's with you, and base your buys just on that completely. And it will take the emotion out of it. You know, I've seen people topping up in a stock. You know, they bought the loads and really well, it's gone really, you know, it's gone double-digit rise, and they're topping up again at a high. You don't want to do that. You know, you want average. You want to keep your average price down if you can. So Look at a chart, look at the RSI. In fact, I'll do a little video on it this weekend if I can, if I've got time. I don't know if I have, but on just looking at the RSI and where to, you know, it takes the emotion out of it. That's the problem, isn't it? You know, when you get carried away, you see your stock flying, it's so easy to want to buy because you think you're missing out. Mm. It's that missing out fact that will get you a bad price and make you average up to a price where, you know, you've lost your initial advantage, where you're going at a good level.
Well, like you said earlier, like the change in mentality as things kind of move in a different direction and things recover, and you do, I know what you mean, because you actually feel, hey, everything's going to be okay now, that's fine, the stocks are rallying a bit better and it's, my portfolio is looking better, so it's all good. But actually what I find this time, because that has happened before, and I think I haven't read the signs, after this particular recent kind of fall since about, what, October last year, I think on this particular one, I've actually really, because I felt like, oh, that hurt, you know, because it really did drop. And I'm now actually, although my mentality has changed as we're seeing a rise, and I'm going to stand by this, I will actually, you know, skip off some profit, and I will actually bank some profit and go to cash in bigger chunks than I have been, like Steve has with Predator. And so whilst my mentality has changed on this little rally this week, if it continues, I'm not going to just stay, sit and hold forever. I will actually start to skim and take some profit this time. So, yes, again, I've learned, you know, from recent experience, I think.
Yeah, well, you learn from experience, that's it. And and thing is, though, always keep an eye on the macro, you know, because no matter what the stock market's doing, the stock market will fluctuate. It'll be oversold, and then it'll rally. It'll technically bounce, you know, cause quite strongly if it's been oversold. We had a massive oversell in the last quarter last year. But if now we start to tank, you know, in the next few months, and it's on a backdrop of bad, you know, fundamentals, you watch the fear set in and the selling, you know, grow quickly. People don't want to be caught in that Q4 like they did last time. People will start selling a lot faster. They'll be more prepared for it, and they'll sell faster. And that's when you have a massive downturn, when everyone starts pulling out in the market, you know. So you may have a lot of people sitting on a bit of cash at the moment, but tentatively getting back in, but prepared, really, to pull that trigger to sell straight away as soon as the market looks like it's going down, you know. So I think you've got to be prepared for it. I just think we're not mid-cycle. We're not start of a cycle. We're towards the end of a cycle, you know. It's as simple as that, you know, and sometimes you have to put it down to probability, you know. What's the chances, if we're at a high, a 9-year high, the chance of it going higher? Okay, put it this way, there's more chance of it going lower than higher, probably, you know, for over a longer period of time. Longer we stay at those levels of highs, and it's the same, look at the charts on RSI, you know. I was looking, if I draw a line on the 50 line on RSI, if you buy below 50 when it's coming up towards 50, your probability of getting a better position or the stock price going up after you buy it is a lot higher than when if you buy at like 70, you know, and the RSI is turning down, you know. Simple as that. That's a lower probability. And you can't argue with that. That's an indicator on previous performances. Shows, you know, over and over again that you're better off buying when it's been oversold and then coming back into a bullish sort of territory rather than the way around, rather than just buying because you think it's rallying, you know. So just about probability, isn't it? You know, try and buy below this level and try and sell above this level.
Yeah.
Yes, you know, it's good to be a bit bullish, but have the head of a heart of a bull, head of a bear, you know.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
Right. Good luck, Peter. Oh, I see you tomorrow. You go up tomorrow? What time are we going?
Yes.
Okay, I'll just let you know what times and other times.
Yeah, but, we'll sort that out. I'm looking forward to it.
See you tomorrow, yes. I think England looking, you know, very powerful.
Mm. Are you going to support England instead?
I may wear a Welsh shirt on top of an English shirt halfway through talking. It depends where it's going. Go to the toilets, come back out. Then a different shirt. And then if Wales start winning, go back in the toilets, put the Welsh shirt back on top.
Oh, okay.
So you just changed your shirt. I haven't. No, I haven't.
Oh. Yes.
You were just wearing an English shirt. I wasn't wearing an English shirt. What's wrong with you? You're drunk. You are absolutely drunk. You are.
That wouldn't have worked during the France game, would it? You'd be swapping your shirts like twice.
Yeah, good point.
Lovely. It's worth trying that. Anyway. Right. Lovely. Have a nice weekend, boys. Speaking next week. May the best team win. Wales.
Yeah. Good.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.